Well, greetings, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something on your mind, a question you'd like to pose, good opportunity right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of the great realities of New Covenant life is this, that we have joined the Lord. We have become one with the Lord, and that's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And if you don't know this verse, I would certainly encourage you to look it up in your Bible, to mark it, to memorize it. And here's how it reads in the ESV. It says, "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." So in this great transaction, in this new birth that we experience in Christ, this being made alive together with him, Christ comes to live inside of us, and he joins himself with our human spirits, and we become one with him. So there's a union that forms, and this is an eternal union. God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and so this is how we will be forever, one in spirit with the Lord. And boy, that will blow your mind and rock your world and reshape everything about life as you know it, won't it?
Yeah. I mean, you think about this, how it works. I mean, we're 100% compatible now, but we're also 100% dependent. And I think if you lose sight of one of those two, guys, then you end up really off the rails or off your rocker in your theology. Because, yeah, I can tell you this, I didn't think I was compatible with God. I thought I was an obstacle. I thought I was in God's way. I thought it had to be all of God and none of me, that I was a dirty worm, that I amounted to nothing. And then I started to learn about my righteousness, that God had made me his righteousness, that righteousness was a free gift, that I was born of him, born of the Spirit. And, you know, God doesn't give birth to ugly things. I mean, God doesn't recreate us in Christ Jesus as dirty, rotten sinners. So I discovered that I'd been crucified, buried, and raised to newness of life, and that I was compatible with God. I mean, the presence of Christ within me was not a foreign presence, but a familiar presence, meaning that, you know, as a child of God, as a new creation who is born again, well, now I fit with who he is. So I'm 100% compatible. And then you come over here and you say, but I'm also 100% dependent. You know, if we lose side of that, you know, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, guys, I think it is a beautiful truth that we are new creations, that we're one with Christ, that we're compatible with him, but also we are 100% dependent. He is always the source. He is the Christian life. He is the Christian life. The Christian life is not something we do. The Christian life is a person. And he's always been living that life. His name is Jesus. He lives in us, and we are fully dependent on him.
Yeah, and that dependency is how God created us to be. I mean,
yeah,
that's
in the first place.
You know, we're created beings, so we can't ever choose. I mean, Adam and Eve chose independence, but they really weren't independent. Why? Because their choice in the garden was dependent upon Satan's information that he passed on to them. I mean, Satan was the one that made that tree look desirable to Eve, and then Eve went and grabbed Adam, and so the two of them ate together, and they thought they were choosing independence from God. They were just choosing dependence upon Satan's lies, and they became in bondage to those lies and errors, and Christ has set us free from that, so that we can truly experience who we are as human beings through dependence upon him in this union that God has brought together in this great gospel message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It is such a powerful, powerful story and an awesome way to experience life. We call it an adventure in union with Christ Jesus himself. it can't get any more exciting than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the basic gospel message that you hear every day right here on this particular radio station. And we're glad you're with us today and online as well. And friends, I want to remind you that as we close in on this final days of this month, remember that we have a special gift for you when you make your gift to help fill up our matching gift of $25,000. Now, it's our hope to be able to do this by the 30th. That is just 6 days away. And when you make your April gift, we'll send you the Simply Grace gift package, and it contains three resources to strengthen your faith and deepen your understanding of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Request yours when you click donate at basicgospel.net or when you phone 844-322-2742. Keep in mind, every dollar you give will be doubled. And again, that's at basicgospel.net. Just click donate or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Now, that same number is open right now. If you have a question and can't seem to find the answer for yourself, or if there's something kind of bugging you and you'd like to talk about it, give us a call. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Lines available right now in the U.S. and in Canada. Well, guys, a question from Jeff, who listens to our Northern California affiliate, KCBC. He says, "Hello, I love your program. I believe it is one of the ways God renews my mind as I listen daily. I have a question about church membership. The church I've been attending puts big emphasis on this. It seems odd to me that as a child of God, I need to sign something, be baptized the correct way, and then members get together and vote to let me join. I already feel like an outsider because I question this, but I'm told this is the biblical model. Really? I know I'm already a child of God, so it seems off to have to do all this and join their club. I'm curious about your thoughts. Thanks so much." And again, that's from Jeff in Northern California.
Wow, you get voted in?
I've never
heard of that. I've heard, you sign a contract and commit yourself with your money and your attendance and all those sort of things, but I've never heard a church voting people in. That's interesting, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. A few churches with this sort of approach have gotten to be well known over the years. They've been in news stories about abusive type situations. You know, you come to a church, you hear the gospel, you get excited about what you heard, perhaps, and then next thing you know, you want to join this group, and they say, okay, you can join, but not yet. We need you to do class 101. And then you do 101, and they say, you still can't join. You got to do 102, and then you got to do 201. And then after you do that, we've got this contract for you, and literally it is a contract, and we're going to ask you to sign on the dotted line, and we're going to ask you to perform in a number of ways. We want you to perform financially. We want you to perform morally. And if you don't keep this contract, then, it's null and void, and you're no longer a member. You're out. And, you know, this idea is becoming more and more rampant, more and more popular in churches today. You know, candidly, you have to ask, what is driving it? And I believe that the funding is likely driving it, because that's the big commitment that people make. They commit to a guaranteed 10%, whether that's before taxes or after taxes, I don't know, but they sort of promise that they're going to give this required 10%. Yeah. And, you know, I think we need to get back to the truth of the matter here. The biggest thing, Jeff, is what you already mentioned, that we are members of the body of Jesus Christ because we have put our faith in Christ. We're members by grace through faith, and we're not members of an organization, but we're members of an organism. That is the body of Jesus Christ all over the planet. And that's a privilege. That's an honor. It has nothing to do with the sign on the church door. It has nothing to do with brick and mortar. It has nothing to do with a 10 a.m. service somewhere. And that's where we get our identity. Our identity is from being in Christ. So, guys, when they're saying, hey, we got to dunk you in water to be a member, hey, we got to get you to sign this commitment contract to be a member, I mean, I understand there are laws in the United States that require a nonprofit to have, say, for example, a board or to have membership of some kind. I can see the legal side of that, why some churches operate that way for legal reasons and to not have chaos and to have government government approval in the U.S., but we need to remember that that is all just governmental stuff. That's red tape. It has nothing to do with who we are in Jesus Christ and the fact that we are members of his body.
What would you recommend as far as Jeff is concerned? Now, he has asked for a membership in this church. Would you recommend that he look for another one?
I think they'll probably invite him to look for another one.
Very well could be.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he's challenging the system, he may find opposition. I would say anytime someone is weighing a church decision, there's no rule about this. We operate within Christian freedom. And I would just ask a few questions. Number one, do I have an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ week in and week out? Is the focus on him? Number two, is there an opportunity for real community, relationship, connection with other believers to encourage them and to be encouraged myself? You see, sometimes people, they fret and they get discouraged and they leave, but all the while they had great relationships. They could have had their own home Bible study. They could have ministered to other people, and they were quick to judge a place. Now, on the other hand, look, if you're not hearing the gospel, well, think twice about why you're even going.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. I hope it's a help to anyone who's going through that particular situation. Well, again, 844-322-2742. The lines are open to the U.S. and in Canada. We want to hear from you. And, friends, as we talked about the last couple of days, we have, if you've ever wanted to experience Israel, here's your opportunity. Israel and Jordan, May 25th and June through June 6th of next year, 2019. And, you know, Petra is on the agenda for that particular trip, Bob. In your understanding, what is the attraction of Petra?
Well, it's just one of the, you know, marvels of the world, the city carved into stone there, and it's just a beautiful place and absolutely gorgeous. And I know people who have visited there just think it's just one of the best experiences that they've ever had.
Yeah.
So we're going to see something that is quite unique in that. But, you know, the big deal about Israel is being, you know, in the place where Jesus was,
right.
Riding on a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. Those are the actual waters where he said to Peter, you know, put your nets out, and brought in 153 fish. And, you know, where he walked on those waters, and it's just amazing. And then you see Jerusalem, the place where Jesus bought and purchased our redemption, where the greatest event in human history actually happened. Mm-hmm. And so we're there, and it's overwhelming, and it's an opportunity to, you know, get fresh eyes, clearer eyes to see the story in the Word of God.
Yeah.
It is just really a marvelous trip. We have a limited number of seats, so 40 to 45 people. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, go to our website, basicgospel.net, click on the Israel banner, find out about this trip, come join us. But I would say if you want to come, register as quickly as possible. All you have to do is put a deposit down.
Right.
There are ways to make payments to make this trip happen. But it is an incredible investment in your spiritual life. You will come back with a deeper sense of who Jesus is and just what this gospel is all about in your life.
Absolutely. Well, the banner is at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Just click that, or you can put a slash after basicgospel.net. Slash Israel, and that will accomplish the same thing. Either way, we hope you'll get registered and be a part of that. Well, guys, a question from Jerry. He says, as far as elders in the church, what does it mean to be above reproach?
Well, guys, you know, we can look at that from a number of different angles. I mean, first, with regard to teaching, being able to teach and not teaching wrongly, teaching misinformation about Jesus. 2,000 years ago, that meant to clearly saying that Jesus came in the flesh, not teaching a heresy that he was only spiritual, also teaching that Jesus is the Son of God, teaching that he died for our sins, arose from the dead. Accuracy concerning the gospel message would be first and foremost. And then from there, I mean, my goodness, you could have somebody who has all the facts right and they're just sloshed all the time. I mean, they're just drunk as a skunk and can't hardly put two words together, and they're talking about how Jesus this and Jesus that, but they've lost all the respect of anybody around them. So they need to buffet their body. They need to, put their body in check by presenting that body to God instead on a daily basis. I mean, Paul talked about, lest I be disqualified. Does that mean that you're losing your salvation? No, it just means who in the world is going to care what you think if your life is a chaotic mess of sin dominating you left, right, and center? Then words just become words. There's nothing to them. There's no life behind them. And people don't crave and long for your belief system because it appears to not be functional. And so, you know, the bottom line is, guys, that we have, you know, life choices. We do. And when Paul talks about being qualified in that regard, he's talking about not acting as if he's a slave to sin, wielding the word of God with accuracy and having a good reputation among men. That's not legalism. Again, that's dependency on Christ. Dependency on Christ does cause us to bear fruit. And if we're doing nothing but walking by the flesh, well, then we can expect the deeds of the flesh, and certainly that'll have an impact on reputation and whether people would even care about what we're saying.
Yeah, that's good insight there, Andrew. And the simple definition of reproach is to bring shame or disapproval or disappointment into a situation. Yeah. And I think the call for us to be above reproach is not something out of line with the gospel message. Why? Because Christ lives in us. It goes back to this union with Christ. So it's not about living up to a set of standards, a set of rules and regulations. It's just simply allowing Christ to be Christ in us. And in today's world, almost every day you read an article or hear a story of another pastor or ministry leader having to resign or being booted out because of moral failures. And it's a lonely job sometimes.
Yeah.
And we can get disappointed in the way people respond and all of those sort of things, and we can easily slide down into a pit of self-pity. And it's out of this pit of self-pity that we become vulnerable. We make really horrible choices. The temptations of this world really become appealing to us in that pit. And so I think it's important for ministers and leaders to have friends and to be able to share the things that are going on in their lives in a sense of freedom and safety. So that life of dependence can move forward and can continue, and we don't feel lonely and isolated and all of those sort of things. Guys, I've talked to so many people that have fallen, that have had tremendous ministry leadership roles and great influence. And every single one of them follows the exact same pattern. They feel like people aren't responding like they were before. They get a little disappointed. Some other things may happen. And they get into that pit of self-pity. And it's there that they make decisions that sometimes wreck their families, bring them to a point where they can't continue in ministry any longer. And this is just a call for us to live in dependency, to be connected with other believers that can encourage and can lift us up and move us forward. So I think it's important, for you as a listener to pray for your pastor, to be a friend to your pastor, to encourage your pastor. Don't forget, he's a human, and he needs that human attention.
Yeah.
So be sure to pray for your pastor and lift him up always. And I think this thing about being above reproach can be handled in that context.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley joining us on this one. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. And I had a listener that wanted to pose the question about grieving the Holy Spirit. He says he's heard several warnings about doing so. And what does that actually mean, grieving the Holy Spirit?
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, if the Holy Spirit begins to cry, you know you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah, boy. Andrew, you get that question all the time,
yes.
Don't you?
First, we need to know God does care so deeply about us. So, you know, grieving the Holy Spirit is not that the Holy Spirit is ticked off at us. We have to remember all the anger was put on Christ. As Romans 5 says, we're saved from the wrath of God through him. So there is no anger left. It's not frustration. It's not God with a furrowed brow going, come on, I didn't see that one coming. But instead, you know, grieving the Holy Spirit is God's deep concern for us. He wants better for us. You know, Ephesians 4, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed. That means, you know, he lives in you. He sealed you. You've got a new destiny. You've got a new hope. You've got a new future. He's renewing your mind. So go ahead and just let. I use that word a lot, guys, L-E-T. Just let. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let, you know, put on, let. Those sort of words are used in the New Testament to say, God's already got this thing set up. It's rigged. All we have to do is wake up every day and let him. Now, when we don't let him, we are grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching. And that just means I cannot sin and express Christ at the same time. That's impossible. So there's two ways to walk. I walk by the flesh or I walk by the Spirit. This is just another way to encourage us. Hey, keep in step with God's Spirit. Walk by him. Depend on him. Trust him because he has the market cornered on fulfillment.
Yeah. And the other thing about this verse, it's in the context of, you know, forgiving others as God in Christ has forgiven you. And, you know, what in the world is the Holy Spirit working inside of us as far as relationships are concerned? Well, when we're wrong, he's working inside of us the spirit of reconciliation, this forgiveness. And that's what he wants to see lived out. That's what he wants us to work out in that relationship. So if we're choosing to hang on to bitterness, we're choosing to not be reconciled or saying, I don't want to be reconciled, I don't want to extend forgiveness, then it you know, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, he's saying you're missing out on this incredible blessing. And boy, that grieves his heart because he wants the absolute best for us at every moment of every day. And yes, we live in a world filled with trials and tribulations. Yes, we live in a world where people hurt us and disappoint us and all of those sort of things. But we do the exact same thing to others. And so if we will step back and allow the Spirit to do his work in those situations, we can experience the fruit of the Spirit in a way that is going to be pleasurable and meaningful to us. So if the Holy Spirit is working in you to forgive, extend forgiveness. That's the greatest blessing you will ever experience in that relationship. It's powerful, and you see what the love of God is really all about.
Yeah. Well, friends, we're glad you're with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Remember that we have this $25,000 matching gift offer, and when it's filled, your gifts will have turned that $25,000 into $50,000. And of course, this will help with our new expansion in Atlanta, Detroit, and expanded coverage in Northern California. And of course, Basic Gospel is here, and we hope that this reach will continue to expand as people here believe and live in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's fill up this excellent matching gift by the end of this month, just 6 days away. Your donation will be doubled. And when you click donate at basicgospel.net or when you call 844-322-2742, again, 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being here today, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis, with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.